This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
At the beginning of this series, we had looked at four parts of life. And I said the four parts of life could be divided into four categories. I said the first one was family, social life, vocational life, and spiritual life. And these four categories play a major role in our day-to-day living. You need a family, you need to have friends, you need to have a job, and you need your spiritual life. These four parts are major areas that abuse and addiction will affect and destroy if not checked. So when a person is addicted, it just does not affect them. It affects their families, their friends, it affects their jobs and their spiritual stance. So what I'm going to look at today, I'm going to look at alcohol, how it affects lives and its consequences. Physically, number one, alcohol will affect you because alcohol is a toxin. A poison that affects most of the body cells. It impairs the function of the brain temporarily. Then what happens? They lose balance. They lose control. Their emotions and reactions become influenced. So sometimes you see people come home, some drunkards or alcoholics come home and they do some strange things. And later on, when they're sober, you tell them they've done it, they're like, did I really do that? Statistically, one third of heavy drinkers have their liver cells destroyed. And when it's destroyed, it's unable to process nutrients. Heavy use can also damage the brain and can also destroy the nervous system. And that's why sometimes you see some heavy drinkers, most of the time they're shaking. It can also put so much pressure on the heart and cause strokes and heart attacks. And more than likely, it can lead to numerous diseases and infection. What they've found out in recent research that long-term abuse of alcohol can increase the risk of liver, stomach, colon, or breast cancer. That's the recent research. The second thing you need to look at is the psychological aspect. Alcohol abuse is so common, many people are only familiar with the dullness and the misbehavior. Unfortunately, the psychological aspect is ignored. Most alcoholics, as their behavior worsens, they make excuses for their drinking. So what they do, they'll give you... How many of you read today's Evening Standard? Did you see the title? Kylie, the man who earns, is it 700,000 a year, says he is an alcoholic and is not ashamed to say that. Why? Because he's gotten so used to it. He's gotten into his system. He doesn't care anymore. And they can give excuses for their drinking. Some of them can tell you that the reason why they drink is because they lost a loved one. They give you so many reasons. They now develop a kind of defense mechanism and they no more feel shame and they depend more and more on alcohol for survival. The most important thing in their life now becomes alcohol. They lose all sense of feelings and they depend solely on the substance. That's why sometimes you see some alcoholics walk through the street and they're hit by cars and they get up again and they go on. Some fall into gutters and get up and go. It's only on the following day when they have sobered up, that they now feel the pain. The third effect it has is on families. Alcohol abuse affects different families in different ways. At first, what happens is the family, the wife, the children will want to blame this person and get angry with them. They cannot understand why they cannot control their actions. As this action progresses, there's always a tendency for the family to take on responsibilities of the action. And then, what do you think they do? They always live in constant fear and tension. So what happens is, once the man is coming home, or whoever the drunkard or the alcoholic is, everyone is tense. What's it going to be like tonight? Is there going to be another quarrel? Is there going to be another beating? They always live in anticipation for the worst, that anything can happen. And guess what it does? It builds insecurity and shame around the family. The spouse and children. Sometimes the children live in constant shame. They don't even want the parent to come to school to pick them up. They don't even want to talk about the parent. And as they grow older, one of the things you see happen is they talk more of the parent that is sober than the parent that is not sober. Often it's an embarrassment for some people. And when you look at it, a few of our sportsmen have shown the effect of alcohol, have shown what the effect of alcohol can do. I don't know whether it's George Best who died, and you remember how many times he was given a liver, and so many people were so much against it that the liver could have been given to someone else. It affects their marriages. And when you look at it, I think he had more than one wife, because he was divorced once and he got married again and got divorced. He could not control his alcohol addiction. There is a story of James, a Christian businessman. James will sometimes stop at the pub to unwind and wouldn't get home until 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. He was sometimes too drunk to get to work the following day. His wife had to make excuses for him. She was full of excuses for him. The children were put to bed before he got home. He will miss important functions, and his wife had to make excuses for him. He will miss the children's school activities, and his wife had to make excuses for him. And what do you think happens in the family? Disunity, insecurity. They cannot trust him. And sometimes he even becomes a ghost father because they do not see him at home. Now listen to what Proverbs 20 verse 1 says. It says, wine makes you mean. Beer makes you quarrelsome. A staggering drunk is not much fun. A staggering drunk is not much fun. Why? Because he comes home, it's a struggle. He fights with the children, fights with the wife. It's not fun to be with. And even his friends sometimes will not. It's not fun for him to be with his friends. Listen to Genesis 9:20. It says, Noah, a farmer, was the first to plant a vineyard. He drank from its wine, got drunk, and passed out naked in his tent. Alcohol uncovers the nakedness of the family. The children become ashamed, and it causes marriage breakdown. Number five, what you see is it affects social lives. In the media on the 27th of March 2007, it reads, can you check for me there? I think you have it on there. It says, don't let under 21s buy drink. The question I ask is why? Apparently, alcohol is blamed for 82,000 deaths of young people in the developed world. What does that mean? It means alcohol is behind a third of all death in the West. The social effect of alcohol abuse is yet to be quantified. What we hear is what they've been able to, NHS has been able. Yes, sir.
You see the other story next to it?
Yes, I was just going to come to that. In the same paper, it shows a woman called Anna Mayers who is suing a landlord over her injuries. Listen, why is she suing them? They should have warned her not to dance on the roof of a house after she got drunk. Amen. Now listen, Proverbs 20 says, wine makes you mean, beer makes you quarrelsome. A staggering drunk is not much fun. But she was having fun on the roof. So she thought. And now she's suing the government. Okay? We are currently in this country struggling with antisocial behaviors caused by drinking. And that's one good example of antisocial behavior. And if care is not taken, she might win that case. And what message do you think that sends out? That you can get drunk and dance on the roof and make money out of it. Amen? Drunkards or alcoholics, let me use that word, lose friends easily. They become loners and suffer self-neglect. They cause other families grief due to death by accident. They lose friends. I'm sure some of you read of, I think his name is Flintoff, the captain of the cricket team, who was stripped of his deputy captaincy. Why? Because he got drunk. And that's not the first time he has done it. Amen? The other aspect you find is vocation. That's their job. They cost employers man hours in absence. The job they are supposed to do suffers. The employer sometimes end up having to employ an agency worker to do the job, costing the employer more. Their colleagues will sometimes have to cover their work. Amen. Sometimes people can look at the problem of alcoholism and want to say, oh, it's a social thing, it's this, but it's costing the society a lot. It's costing family the lives of their loved ones. Spiritually, that spiritual effects. It is impossible to grow spiritually when one is dependent on any form of drugs. The result is a greater alienation from God. Why? Because the substance you've become addicted to becomes an idol of worship. So the only thing that makes you happy is the alcohol. In Exodus 20, it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am thy God, Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. So when alcohol or any form of drug becomes an idol, it's taken the place of God. And it becomes idolatry. This situation will sometimes draw some families to God, praying and believing God for deliverance for their family. However, the addict struggles with their relationship with God. Because every time they're down, every time they're struggling with one situation or the other, guess what? They go to alcohol. Now, the problem you see here is that it's also costing them their license, drive, they stop driving. So many issues involved. The other group of people are those who are addicted to drugs. I've spoken about, when I talk about this, you find out that the effects and consequences are similar to, to alcohol. But there are some other things that are completely different. One of the things you'll notice with those who are addicted to drugs, you notice changes in behavior. they begin to deteriorate physically. Okay? They deteriorate physically. They are not coherent. Because all they need is something to boost the self-image. They only believe that the only time they are coherent, the only time they can feel normal is when they depend on the drugs. They cause family stress. I was reading, which I've not read, but I was going through it, about this lady and the husband. They have a young boy who smoked cannabis at the age of 13. He was on the play field with his friends at school and they gave him cannabis. And from that day on, this boy became hooked on it. For the past 2 years, he has cost his parents £10,000 in trying to solve this problem. The marriage is on the verge of collapsing. There's much argument in the house. Is now, is it 18? But they're struggling. They put him in so many rehabs, but he comes back and it's the same thing. It causes instability in the home. It destroys their careers. For many years, marijuana has been thought to be less harmful. However, recent reading in the papers have confirmed my fears. In the Daily Mail of March 19, 2007, headline says, "Cannabis addiction soars as drug gets stronger." It is believed cannabis is linked with schizophrenia. Did I say it well today? Okay. Smoking cannabis is known to increase the levels of a brain chemical called dopamine, and it is thought an excess produce hallucination characteristics of schizophrenia. I need to. Okay? Now, the numbers attending hospital with cannabis-related mental disorders have sharply risen from 581 5 years ago to almost 1,000 last year. We're dealing with a big issue here. According to Health Service, around 22,000 cannabis users are under 18. Drug addiction causes growing number of complaints. So they complain a lot. They're not happy with this, they're not happy with that. They become rigid in their lifestyle. Everything must be done their own way. They lose control of their senses. They have frequent blackouts. And guess what? They steal to fund their habits. And this is incidentally common with addicts. Recently, a 14-member panel, after 2 years of studying the issue of drug abuse, say most people who take drugs cause no harm to themselves or others. Amen? They describe a drug-free Britain as impossible dream and say policy should be about reducing harm than pursuing pushers. They also advocated shooting galleries. Wait a minute. Where are these people from? There's another slide there. Where are they from? If this is causing so much harm to families, and that was why this woman that I've just told you about in the Daily Mail documented for 2 years the problem she's been going through. Yes, it's that one. Can you scroll it up if you can? Don't worry. For 2 years, she's been documenting this journal in the on the internet about what her son is going through. What she'll do is go and ask the families who have been affected by addicts in one way or the other. Those who have lost precious goods, those whose precious goods have been stolen. Ask me, when my place was broken into, when the police came, guess what their conclusion was? they're probably addicts looking for money to buy their cracks. Okay? Ask those who have lost loved ones through car accidents, stabbing. You understand? This is a breakdown of drug-related deaths. And when I looked at this, guess what? Heroin, which is a class A drug, which means it's very powerful and it's illegal, there were 842 deaths. Cocaine, which is still in the same class, 176. Barbiturates, which is illegal, B class, 14. Methadone, which is illegal, B class, 220. Now look at alcohol, which is legal. How many did it kill? 8,000. Okay? Benzo mine, C class, 190. Amphetamine, B class, 103. Tobacco, which is legal, how many? 120,000. Cannabis, C class, 19,000. Now guess what? Why is it just 19? Because it has only just been downgraded. You wait and see what happens after so many years. Now, why have I shown you this? The things that are legal have caused more death than the ones that are illegal. So can you then just imagine when you legalize those things? Amen. Hallelujah. When you look at the number of deaths caused by legalized drugs, you can just imagine what will happen when they are legalized. But now listen to what 1 Corinthians 3:17 says. It says, if any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. Let no man deceive himself. If any man think that he is wise among you in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he that taketh the wise in their craftiness. Listen to the Message Bible version, which I love. It says, no one will get by with vandalizing God's temple. And that's what has been happening. Amen? You can be sure of that. God's temple is sacred. And you remember, you are the temple. Don't fool yourself. Don't think that you can be wise merely by being up to date with the times. And guess what? That's what the government is doing. The government is being up to date with the time. And we cannot afford to just sit down. And that's why we're doing this teaching. So that we can help those who are out there, who are struggling in this area, also be protective over our children. Know where your children are. Know what your children are doing. Know when your children lock themselves up in their room. How many of you remember Ruth Ann? She spoke about that young girl that the mom said, open the door. She refused to open the door, and the mom kicked the door down. And the mom removed the door completely. This is my house, no door. We're giving too much freedom to our children. I'm not saying don't love your children. I'm not saying don't pamper them. But we must know who they're mixing with, where they go. Amen. Listen to verse 19. I love this in the Message Bible. Be God's fool. That's the path to true wisdom. What the world calls smart, God calls stupid. It is written in Scripture, he exposes, I don't know what this means, the chicanery of the chick.
The chic.
What does that mean?
So chicanery means you're kind of plotting trying to find a way around something.
Okay. Amen. Is that not what the government is trying to do?
Yeah.
They're trying to find a way around. But the truth is that this thing is destroying lives. I think just sitting down doing this research has opened my eyes to so much. The next abuse or addiction I want us to look at, the effect it has, is bulimia and anorexia. I read in the papers yesterday, I think since I started this, I've been seeing so much in the papers that it's shocking. Nine-year-olds are now becoming addicted. That's scary. It is scary. Can you put the picture on? It's the effect. It will be on there. How does bulimia affect your body? It causes serious and physical and emotional trauma. And these are some of the major effects of bulimia. It affects the brain. Can you see there? Depression, fear of gaining weight, anxiety, dizziness, shame, low self-esteem. Now, do you realize that I think I was asking someone once, I said to the person, what's the best meal to have in a day? Is it breakfast? Is it lunch? Is it dinner? Guess which one it is? Breakfast. Because it keeps you going. But what happens with those suffering from bulimia and anorexia is that they don't allow the food to settle down. What do you think happens? There is nothing in the system to help the body grow. So what happens is they begin to feel dizzy and tired. They cannot concentrate. They cannot do anything. And if they should walk in a hurricane, it will lift them up and they will fly. Amen. It affects the brain. The cheeks become swollen and you can see sore. You can see. So what most do is to cover it up with makeup. It affects the mouth. So they have problems with their teeth, gums, and lips. Because you now have cavities, erosion of gum disease. Your teeth become sensitive to hot food because you're not giving your teeth enough calcium. One of the things I found out, which was quite shocking, is that it affects the ovary and the stomach. And so there was a lady who said that what normally happens is when someone comes to visit her in hospital and they say they are barren and that kind of a thing, they begin to ask questions. Have you been anorexic? Have you been trying to slim down and that kind of a thing? And once they say yes, she knows that's where the problem is. The feelings of shame and guilt. And I was quite shocked because when you look at it, they're trying to look beautiful. Why then will you feel ashamed? I think one of the biggest problems we're having now, I've forgotten what they call it. There's something I read in the papers about all these young girls that want to slim down. There is a name they've given to it. It's a new name. Maybe it's one of the political correctness things. Size zero. Every young girl today wants to be size zero. But guess what? It's killing young girls. It's destroying their lives. They find it difficult to concentrate. They're depressed. They have low self-esteem. And the problem you have in their families also. So it all goes back to family. Because the family is struggling to help them. The family is struggling to support them. And money is being wasted. What I just want to do is, I want us to come to a point in this church where we can help our young girls to know that no matter what size they are, they're pretty. Amen. No matter what they're going through, to make them realize that they've been created in God's own image. I want them to realize that when you look at them, they've been fearfully and wonderfully made. You get me? Because that's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. They're not being affirmed enough. And then when they go to school, they want to compete. They're looking at all these wonderful, so-called wonderful models on telly, but they do not know what these models suffer. The shame, the loneliness. Okay. What I'll do is next week I'll be taking a different one. Next week I'm looking at pornography and other abuse and other form of abuses. But I'm going to look at pornography and work addiction and shopaholic. And then I'll also add the gambling one into it. But I hope what you see here is not much of the normal preaching, but it's an eye opener, which it has been to me. And I just hope it's been a blessing to you. Amen. What I want us to do is I just want us to pray, because we need to bring these people before the Lord.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.